Thank you for watching Conscious Consumer Network. The live stream broadcast is free to view. You can pause and rewind live broadcasts to catch up, or view shows at a later date by accessing our free archives of all shows. Check out our broadcast guide to see what's on. You can show your support by donating to our network support fund. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or subscribe to the monthly newsletter for updates. We thank you for supporting free and independent media.
Greetings, planet Earth, from the spaceship Biggie. I'm here with the fabulous Jan Ervin. I'm Joseph Atwell. This is show 40 of Unspun. My, how time flies. And this is going to be a rip-roaring show, if I do say so myself, because we're going to be actually talking about a paper that Jan is in the process of writing. It hasn't been released, but has really, really important information, brand new stuff. He showed it to me recently, and I read it, and I really encouraged him, even though it's not on Gnostic Media, but will be, I think, shortly, if we can nag Jan into finishing it. But even though it's not on it, the information is so important that we really had a responsibility to bring it out. And basically, what we're going to be talking about in this show is how there was a false narrative presented to the American public and the European public that was associated with psychedelic drugs. Now, on this show, over and over again, we've shown from the beginning of the psychedelic revolution in America, May 1957, with Gordon Wasson's story in Life magazine, that insane piece of neuro-linguistic programming that has done so much damage. As we go forward, we show, look, all of these people, it's a cesspool of secret societies and sophistry, the Grateful Dead, Jim Morrison. We've gone through all this. But what Jan Papers does is it looks backwards. And it looks at the structure of the stories that Wasson and the proponents of the psychedelic culture told to the American people about the history of psychedelic drugs. And what Jan's paper points out is that this is as much a fiction as the stories that begin with Wasson's psychedelic.
Sure. Jump in here, Joe,
sure. Too,
because there's a reason why I want to hit on this topic. And one of the most common things that I hear as we have been exposing all of this MKUltra, etc., people get cognitive dissonance and they want to hold on to their religion of psychedelic drug use. And so they'll say something like, well, mushrooms, or well, peyote, or well, ayahuasca are all older than the CIA. So therefore, what you're saying doesn't matter. We're still going to go ahead with our beliefs in the religion, in the neo-shamanism that has been promoted. And so, knowing Wasson, it occurred to me that nobody was discussing the original 16th century reports from the Spanish, and these include original Nahuatl and Aztec reports. And included in Friar Sahagún's research that was published, I forget, in the 1590s. But he was collecting data from Nahuatl informants, and this is found in the Florentine Codex, Book 12. And in Book 12, it's or not just Book 12, excuse me. Book 12 is just one of them. In fact, I should have grabbed them all. But these books are written in the Nahuatl language, the original Aztec language, and then juxtaposed to them, it's in Spanish. And then the Spanish has also been translated to English and other languages. And you can see the original Nahuatl text right there along with, you know, the other stuff there. So with the Spanish or English translations of what these things originally said. So one of the common arguments against even looking at the original 16th century reports is just, well, they can't be true because they're written by white guys. Well, here's the problem with that theory is they're not just written by white guys, because Sahugan stuff in the Florentine Codex is Nahuatl informants. Aztec, Nahuatl was the language they spoke, the original Aztec people who were informants, forefather or forefriar Sahugan, who then put all of this together into 12 books plus an introduction, 13 books total. And then this was handed over to the King of Spain. As you know, it covers botany, it covers the history of, you know, the culture and the society and the original war with Cortez and all is like right there laid out in book 12. And not just the Spanish accounts, but the Nahuatl accounts as well. So all of this stuff is laid out. So we're not just talking about white people's reports. And I've mentioned before in my papers that, you know, people, you know, in anthropology and ethnography, et cetera, they say, oh, well, we have to be careful not to be prejudiced against the native reports of things. Well, and that goes for the Spanish as well. We also have to be careful not to be dismissive of the Spanish reports, especially when the Spanish reports spanning over about 8 or 9 decades all pretty much match up and say the same things. Now, what I, you know, so anyway, the reason why I want to address this is because it's a constant subject that comes up by people who are looking to stay informed. Well, the CIA is older again, or the drugs are older than the CIA, excuse me. So therefore, Jan Ervin is wrong. Even if the CIA did this, they don't want to know more information, even how this stuff is used, which I call them suggestogens for this very reason, because they cause hypersuggestion. That's the purpose of them.
Jan, let me just clarify what you said, because I think it's such an important point. I mean, the argument has been given to Jan that the psychedelic drug culture is older than the CIA. And therefore, if we are now plugged into this culture, we are actually basically carrying on with traditions and spiritual connections that have nothing to do or are older than the CIA's operation in the 1960s. And this is sophistry. I mean, it can be self-inflicted sophistry. But the fact is that it doesn't have a citation that is real. The facts that people are using to justify this are not correct, and that's why Jan's paper is so important and timely.
Well, and just to let people know the title of the paper, we still haven't given that yet. It's called Teonanacatl, The Flesh of the Gods, Postmodernism and the Sacred Mushroom of Sacrifice and Suicide. Now, what we've been sold by Gordon Wasson, and you know, for those of you in the audience who don't know who Gordon Wasson was, he was the man who popularized psilocybe magic mushrooms, and he was the vice president of propaganda of PR for J.P. Morgan Bank, and this, you know, he started working for J.P. Morgan roughly in, I think, 1927, but he was also a chairman and worked with the Council on Foreign Relations. He was a very high-level CIA agent. He was in charge of MKUltra Subproject 58. And so that is why this is important to cover this subject, because, number one, Wasson was a key figure behind MKUltra, working directly, as I've shown, with Alan Dulles and Aldous Huxley, etc. But he's one of the two people, aside from Aldous Huxley himself, who promoted the whole psychedelic movement, beginning in 1957 with his book, Mushrooms, Russia, and History, where he gave the information about Maria Sabina, etc. And then it was also published in Life magazine in May 13, 1957. And then his wife also published an article that went out to about 13 million newspaper subscribers as well. So they just literally blanketed the whole country with information about psychedelic mushrooms and all this. So what I want to do here is read a quote from a former associate of mine, and he's probably one of the few legitimate, in my opinion, anthropologists who lived. And unfortunately, he died in 2012 of pneumonia, and he had gotten pretty sick when he was living down in Guyana. But he's also one of the few professors who was strong enough and willing to stand up for my exposure of Wasson's attacks against John Allegro in my book, The Holy Mushroom, back in 2008. And he writes, "Shamanism is a burgeoning obsession for the middle classes around the globe. Its presentation in popular books, TV specials, and on the internet is dominated by presumed psychic and physical benefits that shamanic techniques can bring. This heightened interest has required a persistent purification of the ritual practices of those who inspire the feverish quest for personal meaning and fulfillment. Ironically, given the self-empowerment motivations that have brought so many into popular understanding of shamanism, two defining aspects of shamanism in Amazonia, i.e., blood, i.e., violence, and tobacco, have simply been erased from such representations. Such erasure is not only a vain self-deception, but more important, it is a recapitulation of colonial ways of knowing through both the denial of radical cultural difference and a refusal to think through its consequences." So, you know, what we see here is Professor Whitehead, and that was from his book also, I think it was from In Darkness and Secrecy, co-written with Dr. Robin Wright. And so this book really lays out that the entire presentation that we've been given, especially in English, a little bit less so in Spanish, because there are some publications that give a little bit more detail, but it's pretty whitewashed in Spanish as well. But this stuff has been omitted. And Professor Whitehead, when he lived in Guyana, he lived with the tribe down there, and he was actually the victim of a dark shaman attack. And that's what got him to research and publish and expose all of this about dark shamanism. And for those who would like more information about him, they can go back, and I think he was on my Gnostic Media podcast, for those of you who have memberships to the website. I think that was episode number 6. So way back in the very beginning he was on. But so, you know, what we have is a misapplication of history where Gordon Wasson, Terence McKenna, Daniel Pinchbeck, many others have actually rewritten, and we should also include Dr. Barbara Meyerhoff and Peter Furst and Carlos Castaneda, especially, whom we've covered so much with Jay Fikes in the past. These people have all created and sold what is neo-shamanism onto society. So that was what Professor Neil Whitehead had to say about the real differences having lived with them versus all of the pop culture that's written about them, like in Shaman's Drum from, Dr. Michael, now I'm forgetting his name. It starts with an H is his last name. But let me see if I can find it. But
it's okay. We can give it
up. Yeah. Well, you know, anyway, so they've taken this and they've created an entire new age, false, watered down representation of what shamanism is across the board. And even And what Wasson has done, and this can be seen in book two of Mushrooms, Russian History, is Wasson has gone around and cherry-picked about a dozen or so accounts from different tribes and then piecemeal together a lot of different outline tribes data. Actually, maybe one person from a tribe, he'd ask him a few questions and then that was the official record. And then he would, you know, talk to somebody else. It didn't matter, you know, if they even knew what he was talking about, if they were lying, if they were just going along because he's asking them these questions, etc. But, you know, in a week in the 1950s, Wasson rounded up most of this information. And then what he did was he applied this on to the Aztecs. In other words, he manufactured this religion and then went around and told everybody that this was the Aztec religion. Now, interestingly, in the Florentine Codex, in the original Nahuatl, it's in there in very clear. I think it's book 10 or 11. I forget the one that deals with medicines. That the type of people that Wasson describes, such as Maria Sabina, were witch doctors and phonies. And the Aztecs didn't believe in that at all. Aztec beliefs in herbology were essentially very similar to ours. You know, different plants had different chemicals. They didn't know about the chemicals, but they'd had different properties and, you know, certain ones helped certain ailments. And so this is how they treated things, very similar to what we do. And this can be found in the 16th century reports. Now, interestingly, in the 16th century reports, which we'll cover here as we go, there's a whole lot of dark stuff in there that shows that it appears that the Florentine Codex was actually used by Wasson and the CIA as sort of a guidebook or a plan book to reverse engineer society and to break it down. But what they did, to summarize, is they took very dark practices where nearly all of the reports in the original were associated with human sacrifice or human suicide or very poor behavior, etc. And wherever Wasson could, he either omitted these citations or truncated them to fit his analogies. So, you know, so here's a good quote by Gaston Guzman, a famous Mexican mycologist who's probably Mexican intel and CIA, as far as I can tell. I mean, he's sold a lot of the story as well. But he says, after Wasson called attention to the word Teonatacatl, it was used by some writers indiscriminately to describe any of the Mexican hallucinogenic mushrooms. But Sahugan applied it only to those used by the Nahuatl tribe. It no longer has currency. At any rate, neither Recco nor Wheatlander nor Schultes nor Wasson found the term Teonatacatl being used by modern Indians. And then he says, however, I discovered a similar term, Teolaquilnanacatl.
Good job, John.
That was a popular name applied to the sacred mushrooms as psilocybe, and P. cerelescens, myrrh by the Indians in the Necaxa state of Puebla. And he goes on from there. But here's a quote that's very interesting, and there is variance of these stories. Now, Wasson, in his reports, he slanders one person, one mycologist, but he doesn't mention his name. And here's another mycologist. This guy was the head of the British the Botanical Museum in England, and his name is John Ramsbottom. And he says, in further investigation, it was learned that the Chinatex and the Tapotex, other tribes of southern Indians who also use the fungus. Teonanacatl means dangerous mushroom. Nanacatl being a generic term or a generic name for mushroom. In Mexican provision markets, mushrooms in general are still called nacatl. In most writings, however, the word was interpreted as bread of the gods or flesh of the gods. Now, I did.
Yeah, let me just interject.
this is absolutely critical. This and again, you're to be commended for bringing these citations and organizing them the way you have, so that everyone can see that what we're looking at is another half of the rot. In other words, the rot is the lying, it's the sophistry, it's the Grateful Dead, it's Jim Morrison, it's Gordon Wasson's story, it's everything that goes forward from 57, all the story, the propaganda that got us into the psychedelic mess. So what John's doing is he's saying, okay, look, you go backwards and you can find the same lying is going on.
Why is this important, though, Joe?
Well, it's important because it will stop people from having...
But wait a second.
Let me finish. Stop them from being vulnerable to the argument that is being given today, that don't worry about the fact it was a CIA op in the 60s. We're linking back to the ancient traditions with the current psychedelic operation. When you look at the last Ramsbottom's quote, it's absolutely critical, because what he shows is that teonanacotyl, which Wasson interprets as bread of the gods or flesh of the gods, is actually just used today, meaning dangerous mushrooms, right? That's how the word is actually used by Indians today. Now, why this?
Nanacotyl.
Just let me finish. We've done 10 seconds. So that's what is important about this is go back to Wasson's article and see how he talks about the drug as the flesh of the god, and see how the expression fits into the hallucination, the lying argument that he's trying to conjure up about this spiritual activity.
Sure.
Now we've got evidence here that's absolutely a fake. And that going backwards and forwards, we're dealing with...
Sure. Now, let me just give a little bit of clarity here.
Sure.
Because he says nicotyl is used today to just mean regular mushrooms in the markets. But, it's what Gaston Guzman says is that he finds this other word. But the issue is that there is no use of the word teonanacotyl in modern usage. So... by any of the tribes. So Wasson basically took this word and recreated it and put it back out into society, including into the Mexican culture as well as ours.
I have a question, because Ramsbottom says that...
hold on. There was...
They use the fungus, and to them it means dangerous mushroom.
Right. Now there was... Hold on a second. There's a couple of issues I want to address with that, because...
Sure.
One is I did follow up with a Nahuatl linguist and a Nahuatl philologist, and she did agree with the teonanacotyl flesh of the god term. Now, Jay, though he's not a philologist in Nahuatl, he thought it could be flesh of the serpent, which is also fitting in my opinion. And who knows if, how many of these philologists that hold guard over this stuff are going to let the cat out of the bag. Because one of the issues that I found was I got several library copies of this book, and I looked of this Florentine Codex, which is 13 books. And there's 19 mushroom references throughout the 13 books. They're actually in 5 of the books. And each of the mushroom references and the ones that I had looked at from the library were all underlined. And none of them say anything that Wasson was claiming. But yet, how come this episode right here, right now, and the show I did last week with Anthony on another network is the first time that this information is even being provided? And so, so Wasson states in Mushrooms, Russia, and History, Book 2, page 216, "There survives to this day in Mexico, within a few hours' flight of New York, the living cult of sacred mushroom, a mushroom to which is attributed the power of bestowing on the eater extraordinary faculties. We know that this cult was nourishing when the Spaniards conquered Mexico, and we believe, or that should say flourishing, I think. I don't know why it says nourishing. In Mexico, and we believe there is evidence indicating that it was then millenniums old. For 3 centuries, this cult lay forgotten, by the world in the old writings of the 16th and 17th and 15th centuries, while Indians in remote corners of Mexico continued to believe in the mushroom and practice the cult. And so, so Wasson's view is totally contrary. Now, Wasson even goes so far as to attack a mycologist for all of this. Now, here he says regarding this whole thing about the mushrooms being used for bad. Now, again, we have to remember that Wasson was the vice president of propaganda, or PR, for J.P. Morgan Bank. This is what Wasson's job is. Spin. Wasson worked with Edward Bernays, the father of propaganda, for at least a decade. Again, so this is what Wasson does. So Wasson says, such passages in the Chronicles of the Aztecs astonish us. The numbers of human sacrifices are set forth in detail, the way in which they are keyed to the religious calendar, the variety of methods used in the taking of lives of the victims, many of them cruel, taxing belief, and perhaps strangest of all, the presence of their deaths on the invitation of the victorious Aztec king, of their kin and friends. All these elements leave us in a quandary. A well-known mycologist has expressed his view that the victims, to prepare them for sacrifice, were fed massive doses of mushrooms. And then the real mycologist that Wasson is citing here, and Wasson very well tried to hide this. Now, somebody who lives in France, in Paris, thankfully was kind enough to go to the French National Museum for me and dig the paper up that Wasson tried to bury this citation. And it was actually written by Rolf Singer. And it says, it now becomes comprehensible how the sacrificial feasts of ancient Mexico were unable to provoke any defense from the thousands of chosen human victims that were sacrificed in a cruel and bloody manner. They won the full cooperation of the victims, according the all appearances of the massive orgies of mushrooms. And so, and then Wasson goes on to say, there is no support for this conclusion in either Duran's Chronica X, nor in the testimony of Sahugan's Nahuatl informants, nor anywhere else. This mycologist, referring to Rolf Singer, was giving circulation in the scientific journal to his own idle fancies. He did not know his sources, readily available though they were to him. Now, here's the thing, is I've gone through nearly all of the original 16th century reports, and Wasson is the only one giving rise to his own idle fancies and distorting every single detail of the original reports. Now, this is quoting Wasson, and I forget if this is Mushrooms, Russia, and History or Soma, but he says, we now come to the coronation of Montezuma II in 1502, when no one in Aztec country had yet heard of the Spaniards. For 4 days, there was feasting and celebration, and that on the fourth day came the coronation, followed by human sacrifices in numbers. Then follows this paragraph where the sacred mushrooms enter. So the quote I'm going to read, Wasson truncates the quote because he's going to establish his public relations spin directly after this quote. So it's important for us to understand this and Wasson's trickery and, you know, nonsense, so typical of the CIA. And the quote from Diego Duran says, the sacrifice finished on the steps of the temple and patio bathed in human blood. They all went to eat raw mushrooms, on which food they all went out of their minds, worse than if they had drunk much wine, i.e. fermented drinks, so drunk and senseless were they that many killed themselves by their own hand with the force of those mushrooms. They could see visions and have revelations of the fugue, the devil speaking to them in a drunken state.
That doesn't sound like an experience I want to repeat.
Right. So what Wasson has done, and this is very interesting because when you see how they're pushing everybody towards eugenics and towards dumbing everybody down, et cetera, you know, getting people in a state where they're, you know, thoughtless and listless, in other words, you know, pillow sitting and navel gazing, well, that works in their behavior. And then also you sell this idea, well, you know, everything is just one. Reality isn't real. So, you know, it's just the world is a reflection of yourself, this total egoic, you know, you are the center of the universe. You're not of the universe. You created the universe. It's all a reflection of you, negating anybody else's right, including yours and mine, Joe, to even have the right to exist.
Right. They want to control. They want us to have the hallucination. They want to control reality.
Now let me read what Wasson says about Durant's quote. Now, Wasson creates an entire bogus little spin story here to dismiss it out of hand. And now, again, Wasson truncated Diego Durant's quote because the original quote says something that Wasson can't get around, so he has to totally omit it and just hope that nobody ever double checks him. So Durant's tone here is so out of harmony with what he had previously said that were we not dealing with the holographic manuscript in his own hand, I would ask whether we had to do with an interpolation of a priestly redactor. See, so already he's trying to spin it that this is ancient misinformation, and really we should be believing in his version of mushroom spirituality, never mind that all of the ancient accounts don't jive with that. He says, such a violent statement, many men drunk and senseless killing themselves, is repeated by white men unacquainted with the hallucinogenic mushroom. So what this is a circumstantial ad hominem attack. So people killing themselves or committing suicide under the influence of mushrooms, that's something that white people, they're just delusional. If they saw somebody killing themselves, oh, they're just high when they, you know, cut their own throat or hung themselves for a tree. You know, the white man didn't get it. I mean, you know, this is really spiritual. This is a good thing. You know, so Wasson tries to spin the whole thing away from what all of the reports say. And he tries to make a false argument that if it wasn't well proven to be written in Diego Durant's own hand, well, I would think it was, you know, a false forgery, an interpolation, something inserted. Let me just
interject that. That's a really critical statement to understand, because what Wasson is, or how he's translating Durant, is that he's saying that the senseless killing of themselves is repeated by white men unaccustomed with the hallucinogenic mushrooms.
Right.
In other words, for a century. Right. So now what he's saying is, though, think about this. He's saying the white people took the mushrooms with alcohol, got crazy and killed themselves.
No, not the white people, the other people. He's saying the white people, this is repeated by white people unacquainted with the mushrooms, who have possibly been ill-prepared for the experience and been drunk from alcohol when they took them. So what he does is he starts speculating about alcohol to dismiss the white men's reports and just says, you know, white people, you know, they couldn't know because they're white. They couldn't know if somebody was on mushrooms when they killed themselves. Never mind that they're reporting these big.
You're right. Wasson's grammar is horrible, but I think that is what he's saying. He's saying that white men are simply repeating the story about the hallucinogenic mushrooms.
And it's all false because they're white. That's what Wasson is saying.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right.
Here's the thing is the Aztecs had a religion completely different than Catholicism or to anything that we're familiar with today. Now, if they were, you know, feeling not adequate, et cetera, for what was going on, and because of the pressures, which you can read about the religion in the Florentine Codices and in Diego Durant, et cetera, very different than what we think of. And if they didn't feel adequate and they were on the mushrooms, which cause, again, hypersuggestion, they're suggestogens, then they very may be suggested into killing themselves for certain behavior, for certain digressions or whatever. So, you know, because the passage is in Duran's own hand, Wasson can't claim it's a forgery. And so when he claims that many men drunk and senseless killing themselves is repeated by white men unacquainted with hallucinogenic mushrooms, that's just a circumstantial ad hominem attack. Wasson is speculating because as a spin master for the CIA, he has to spin. He has to misrepresent the text. And so let me read what the full quote from Diego Duran says, which is very different. This is from the History of the Indias of New Spain, page 407, for those of you who would like to fact check me. Unlike Gordon Wasson, when the festivities had ended, Montezuma seated himself in the supreme place, the divine seat, the place of the gods, and the war captives were brought out. All of them were sacrificed in honor of his coronation, a painful ceremony, and it was a pathetic thing to see these wretches as victims of Montezuma. It had become as common among these people to sacrifice men on feast days as it is for us to kill lambs or cattle in the slaughterhouse. I am not exaggerating. This is Diego Duran here, folks. Diego Duran says, I am not exaggerating. There were days in which 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, or 8,000 men were sacrificed. Their flesh was eaten, and the banquet was prepared with it after the hearts had been offered to the devil. And then, so Wasson only takes the following text, which says, when the sacrifice was finished and the steps of the courtyard were bathed in human blood, everyone went to eat raw mushrooms. With this food, they went out of their minds and were in a worse state than if they had drunk a great quantity of wine. They became so inebriated and witless that many of them took their lives with their own hands. Under the following, under the strong influence of the of these mushrooms, they saw visions and had revelations about the future, since the devil spoke to them in their drunken madness.
So you know what the problem was, John, with these guys? Is they didn't have the Grateful Dead playing in the background.
See, right. Well, yeah, that's right. That's right.
If you have that, then this would all work out just fine. You know, they would.
Now, Wasson states that there is no support for this conclusion in either Duran's Chronica X, nor in the testimony of Sahugan's Nwaddle informants, nor anywhere else. Okay. So here's Friar Modalinha. Torbio de Benavente Modalinha, and he states, they had another way of getting drunk that made them crueler. It was with certain fungi or small mushrooms, unos hongos o setas pequeñas, of which there are such in this land as in Castile. Okay, so this to me implies that the Spanish already knew this stuff was going on back in Spain. I may be interpreting this incorrectly, but I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Yeah.
But he says, but those of this land are such quality that eaten raw and being bitter, they drink after taking them and eat them with a bit of honey. So apparently they knew about the inebriating honey or mushrooms, but the Aztecs, when they took them, mixed them with honey. Okay. And in a little while, they see thousands of visions, and especially snakes, and they go out of their senses. Their legs and body appear full of worms, eating them alive, and thus, half raving, they leave the house wanting someone to kill them. And with this bestial drunkenness, and let me see, and thing they felt, and then it's in Spanish, trabajor que sentían, it sometimes happened that they would hang themselves, and they were also crueler toward others. With these mushrooms called teonanacatl, this is one of two original citations here that in history that mentions the word teonanacatl. This is one of them that I'm reading here. in their called Teonanacatl in their language, which means flesh of the god or devil, which they worship. And in this way, with this bitter delicacy that they communed with their cruel god. So, you know, there was a religion there of, you know, of some sort of human sacrifice and suicide and cruelty, etc. Now, we still haven't gotten to the, you know, and there's a lot more to this. I'm only skimming some of the best tidbits, folks. But so this very brutal, very bloody, very mind-controlled religion is what Wasson wants to spin as a New Age religion onto the masses. So,
Well, wait, he actually is not doing that. What he's doing is he's completely falsifying it in order to weaponize it.
Well, sure.
You're getting weaponized history here. It's fake. It's just, it's been constructed to have a certain effect upon you as propaganda, so that then you will be more likely to take the psychedelic drugs that will be available in 1960s and till today.
Now, there's some good quotes here. I'm going to get into the original Aztec or Nahuatl informant reports. And these are all from the Florentine Codex. The first one here is book 9, The Merchants, page 37 going forward. So again, and all of the reports, including Wasson's and John W. Allen's and others who had written about this, they actually even, it appears, in my opinion, that they intentionally obfuscated where some of these reports were coming from. And, you know, like in one of John W. Allen's reports, he says it's book 2 or something like that. It was book 9 or in another place. You know, I'll sort that out as I go through and finish writing this. But chapter 8, which telleth how he who held the banquet performed the act offering to pay debt to the gods. Okay, so this is a debt to the gods. At the very first, and I'm skipping down, at the very first, mushrooms had been served. They ate them at the time when, they said, the shell trumpets were blown. They ate no more food. They only drank chocolate during the night, and they ate the mushrooms with honey. They ate the mushrooms, or when the mushrooms took effect on them, then they danced, then they wept. But some, while still in command of their senses, entered and sat there by the house on their seats. They danced no more, but only sat there nodding. And then dropping down some. Some were perhaps thieves. Some perhaps committed adultery. However, many things there were, all were told, that one would take captive. One would become a seasoned warrior. The leader of use, one would die in battle, become rich by slaves, provide banquets, ceremonially bathe slaves, commit adultery, be strangled, perish in the water down. So all of these things are in this text. It's a ceremony to pay a debt to the gods. These are the warrior class. They have their, you know, they're telling their stories about their wrongdoing. Some committed adultery, some were thieves, etc. And then they're talking about how they, you know, they were all told they would see their future, in other words, from eating the mushrooms. And it says, you know, in the line before, just to make this clear again, and they saw in vision what would befall those who had eaten no mushrooms and what they went about doing. Some were perhaps thieves, some perhaps committed adultery. However, many things there were, all were told that one would take captives, one would become a seasoned warrior, one would become rich by slaves, provide banquets, ceremonially bathe slaves, commit adultery, be strangled, perish in the water. So these are, you know, they're not using it for a religious find God experience. They're more using it to foretell the future, divination, this sort of thing.
It doesn't sound like recreation to me.
Doesn't sound like recreation. Now, again, so in, you know, here's a quote from John W. Allen. In Book 10, Chapter 29, we are presented with a description describing nanocaudal as Angus malus K. embrochan, evil mushrooms that inebriate. And then, you know, so he admits that one of the citations say evil mushrooms. Now, here's some really good citations from, again, from the Nahuatl informants, from the original Aztec informants. This is from Florentine Codex, Book 10, Part 11, The People. Again, I'm giving the full citations to each of these because they're distorted and hard to find in every other reference on these I've found throughout ethnomycology. And this is page 19FF. One of noble lineage is a follower of the exemplary life, a taker in the good examples of others, a seeker, a follower of the exemplary life. The good one of noble lineage is a student, teachable, indoctrinated. He follows the exemplary life. He sets forth an exemplary life. The bad one of noble lineage is a scandalizer, a flatterer, a drinker, besotted, drunk. He goes about becoming crazed. He goes about eating Datura stramonium and mushrooms. He becomes vain, brazen. And then here's from page 37. This one is called The Lewd Youth. The lewd youth is a madman. He goes about drinking crude wine, a drunkard, foolish, dejected, a drunk, a sot. He goes about eating mushrooms. He goes about demented. He is restless, dissolute, shameless, presumptuous, lewd, tattling, wicked, a vile brute, brazen.
Wait a second. Deadhead. I mean, how did they have such a...
Well, this is exactly why I said that I think that they used the Florentine Codex as a guidebook to create the 1960s. Yeah, you're exactly right. He is restless, dissolute, shameless, presumptuous, lewd, tattling, wicked, vile, brute, brazen. He is impudent. He consumes his inner substance. He is vain, proud, debauched, a pleasure seeker, a libertine, revolting, filthy, vicious, a keeper of mistresses. In other words, all the free love, hello, a talker. He lives in concubinage. He is given to pleasure, hello. Again, this is from page 37, book 10, part 11, The People, from the Florentine Codex, written by the original Aztec informants. This is not written by white folks. So, you know, you got to go back and look at the original stuff and think. You know, and I should mention the same thing. You know, Kuwana Parker's grandson contacted me about 2 years ago, and he told me that they thought they did the same thing with peyote here in North America, and there's no evidence that the Native Americans used peyote before the 1850s. There is evidence, as we know from Jay Fikes, that the Huichol used it, possibly the Yaqui Indians and others. Now, let me read a few more here, because there are some really good ones in this stuff. And then this is another noble woman. The noble woman is of nobility. She belongs to the order of rulers, comes from rulership, whether she is legitimate or a bastard child. The good noble woman is one who is bashful, ashamed of evil, who does things with timidity, who is embarrassed by evil. She works willingly, voluntarily. The bad noble woman is infamous, very audacious, stern, proud, very stupid, brazen, besotted, drunk. She goes about besotted. She goes about demented. She goes about eating mushrooms. Now, all of these are quotes that Wasson wants to keep omitted from all of the reports. All of these reports I didn't find in any of the other stuff out there. They want people to think that this was all rosy stuff, or that it was all, you know, that the original, they've even sold a whole false religion into Mexico that they think were the Aztecs. And archaeology well proves that the blood sacrifices did happen around the temples, because they've done soil samples and the soil around the temples is rich with blood. So it's not like, you know, something that the white priests made up, as much as Wasson would like to claim that. And, you know, and I've heard this from Mexicans who've also bought into the CIA's lie on this. And this obviously doesn't include, you know, some of the Mexican scholars that I've spoken to about this stuff, et cetera. But here's another one. The carnal woman, and this is page 55, the harlot. The carnal woman is an evil woman who finds pleasure in her body, who sells her body, repeatedly sells her body. An evil young woman, an evil old woman, besotted, drunk, very drunk, much besotted, dejected, perverse, like a sacrificial victim, a bathed slave, a captive, full of affliction, mortal. She consumes her inner substance, a brazen, a proud, a sissolute woman of debauched life, a fraud, gaudy, fastidious, vain, petty. She is oblivious of what all know her to be, a petty old woman, a free yielder of herself, a whore from the brothel, a deflowered one, a lascivious old woman of itching buttocks, an old woman itching buttocks, an aged woman, a flabby old woman, a filthy one, a filthy old dog who brings herself to ruin like a dog. She parades. She moves lasciviously. She is pompous. Wheresoever she seduces, howsoever she sets her heart on one, she brings him to ruin. She makes herself beautiful. She arrays herself. She is haughty. She appears like a flower, looks gaudy, arrays herself gaudily. She views herself in the mirror, carries a mirror in her hand. She bathes. She takes a sweat bath. She washes herself, anoints herself with axen, which was a type of Aztec perfume from, I think, a sap or something. Constantly anoints herself with axen. She lives a bathed. She lives like a bathed slave. Acts like a sacrificial victim. Goes about with her head high, rude, drunk, shameless, eating mushrooms. She paints her face. Various, okay, all of the makeup, all of the gaudy makeup, like did you see the prostitutes wearing, etc.? I mean, this is right here. This is Aztec culture in the 1500s, ladies and gentlemen. She paints her face, variously paints her face. Her face is covered with rouge. Her cheeks are colored. Her teeth are darkened, rubbed with cochineal. I don't know what that is. Half of her hair falls loose, half is wound about her head. She arranges her hair like horns. She goes about haughtily, shameless, head high, vain, filthy, given to pleasure. She lives in vice. Again, this is an original Nahuatl Aztec informant's report. And you can tell by the, you know, the choppy language, et cetera, that it's, you know, an original Nahuatl one as well. And then, you know, there is one report in there in book 10, page 173 about peyote. The so-called peyote was their discovery. These, when they ate the peyote, esteemed it above wine or mushrooms. Again, so mushrooms were not held as high as peyote. We know that peyote was a religion because of Jay Fikes and the Weechel and possibly, again, the Yaqui and others was not held as high. Okay, so now, this is Teonacaztli, the fruit of the Teonacaztli tree, the Uatnacaztli, of pleasing odor, fragrant. Its scent is dense. It's piercing one's nose. It's strong. It's yellow. It has fuzz. It's fuzzy like cotton balls. It's potable. The juice is extracted when it is drunk or ground in cocoa. Roasted first, it is drunk uncooked. A medicine, it lessens fever. And again, so what they've done is they've, you know, like Maria Sabina talks about how before Wasson, it was only used to heal sickness. Not until after Wasson came was it ever used to find God. And so this Aztec report continues. It is drunk not many times and not much, for it takes effect on one. It makes one drunk as if it were mushrooms. And then, you know, so this is a tree substance like the mushrooms, and it makes them drunk, and they used it to treat, you know, some kind of illness with. So again, they have like common herbology like we do today. And then nonacodyl, it's called teonanacodyl. And this is one, again, the second report of teonanacodyl. This is book 11, Earthly Things, page 130. It's called teonanacodyl. It grows in the plains and the grass. Its head is small and round. The stem is long and slender. It is slender. It is bitter and burns. It burns the throat. It makes one besotted. It deranges one, troubles one. It is a remedy for fever, which I can definitely understand because I've done it many times, and you definitely get the chills, and it runs your body temperature down. So, again, the Aztecs used it to treat fever. So, if you know, when people ask me if it has a medical use that would have validity, in my opinion, there would probably be one. If somebody had a fever of 104, 105, you know, and they're already hallucinating because of the fever anyway, you know, this is definitely going to bring their fever down. Absolutely. I would agree with that. But we don't see MAPS or, you know, any of these CIA organizations saying, hey, you know, let's, you know, the only report we have for it is for fever. It saddens, it depresses, troubles one. It makes one flee. It frightens one, makes one hide. Again, this is an original Nahuatl report. He who eats many of them sees things which makes him afraid or makes him laugh. He flees, hangs himself, hurls himself from a cliff. Now, before Wasson, we had seen in the report that Wasson had lied that there is nothing like this in Sahugan's Florentine Chronica or Diego Duran, the Chronica X or Diego Duran. So he says there is no support for this conclusion in either Duran's Chronica X nor in the testimony of Sahugan's Nahuatl informants. Well, folks, there's a smoking gun. I just quoted it. Wasson lied again. Page 130, book 11, page 130. Again, he flees himself, hangs himself, hurls himself from a cliff, cries out, takes fright. One eats it in honey. I eat mushrooms. I take mushrooms. Of one who is haughty, presumptuous, vain, of him it is said, he mushrooms himself. Now, again, I just disproved that Wasson lied. I disproved Wasson because Wasson says there is nothing like what I just read in Sahugan's reports. It's complete nonsense. So, you know, and I guarantee, folks, that the same is going to be true for ayahuasca. And I've read the reports. I've read. And we've only got a few minutes here, so I'm going to see if I can find a couple of Marlene de Rios' quotes very quickly here because they're important to understand how, and let me just pull this up here, how these things are suggestogens and how, you know, I mean, look at the psychedelic 60s, look at what the Aztecs said, and look at how these things were promoted by Wasson and by the CIA. I mean, it's nothing like we're told. Marlene de Rios says, psychedelic substances like ayahuasca create a state of hypersuggestibility in which persons are very open to being influenced by others. And why is Marlene de Rios important? She's one of the two people, aside from CIA agent William Burroughs, who popularized ayahuasca. She was the professor of, ironically, anthropology at Cal State Fullerton. And I used to actually live right behind Cal State Fullerton, less than a half a block. But so many traditional cultures have utilized this condition to inculcate cultural values and behaviors in young people as they receive initiation into adulthood. In the West, counterculture values can be inculcated in young people when using these psychedelics, especially when using them in an antinomian context. And of course, antinomian means of or relating to the view that Christians are released by grace from the obligation of observing moral law. So now, again, think back to what I just read out of the original 16th century reports that all describe this licentious behavior and how bad they were and sacrifice and suicide and all of this. And then look at the promotion of mushrooms and LSD and everything and the counterculture and the 60s forward. And anyway, so that's what I have to say. Joe, and wrap it up.
There it is. It's one lie after another. It's all been weaponized, this whole history of the psychedelic culture going back deep into the Mesoamerican history is just crazy. It's not real. Next week, we'll have a special show. I don't even want to talk about it. It's going to be so special. But in the meantime, go to caesarsmessiah.com, and you can buy my books, Caesar's Messiah and Shakespeare's Secret Messiah. Jan, how can people get a hold of you, and how can they get your books?
Sure. GnosticMedia.com, GnosticMedia.com. And also, you can check out my books, especially folks who want to read the second book, my book, The Holy Mushroom, where I expose how Wasson used all of these exact same tactics on John Allegro, and I published that back in 2008.
Jan, I'll be seeing you soon, brother.
Please donate, support the show, support the network. Bye-bye. See you soon. Take care.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for tuning into CCN. This unique network is dedicated to free and independent media. CCN was created with the belief that information is the common heritage of all beings, which is why our live stream high-definition broadcast is easily accessible and free to view. If we want to change the world, we must first change the media. Having produced over 1,000 shows in 2015, which are all archived on YouTube, we look forward to bringing you more groundbreaking, cutting-edge information in 2016. For more information on what is on, please check out our broadcast guide for weekly updates. CCN broadcasts in multiple languages and features some key voices of our challenging times who are all in pursuit of a free, fair, just, sustainable world. CCN belongs to you, the people, and it is up to you all to keep this network on the air. Please contribute to the Network Support Fund or visit the CCN shop. We thank you all for supporting free and independent media.